can't talk about the brain without addressing headaches. Right now, I'm going to introduce someone very special, Dr. Amelia Scott Barrett. She's a Stanford-trained neurologist who teaches the latest brain science to people with headaches. And this information really empowers people to really get the most effective tools for headaches, but also change their lives by utilizing these tools over a lifelong journey to really reveal how the brain can heal and how the head can heal as well. Dr. Barrett graduated from Smith College with the honors in psychology and attended the University of Colorado School of Medicine. She completed her residency at Stanford University and returned home to Colorado, where she founded Rocky Mountain Neurology, and she continues to see people with headaches. She founded the Migraine Relief Code in 2019 with the mission to really help people with chronic headaches get their lives back. Dr. Barrett lives in Denver and has three beautiful children in high school and college. She enjoys yoga, cooking, and meeting new people. What we're going to cover today is something that I think everyone should really learn and understand. All the topics that we go over today is something that I practice myself with my family and my friends as well. And I can't wait for you to hear Dr. Barrett talk about this. I'm so excited to have you on. This is amazing. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. So, you know, I was on your website earlier, and one of the things that really stood out to me and what really resonated to me is that a lot of people with headaches just take medications, cover them up. Like, why not just do that and get on with life? What's up with that?
Well, I think that approach works great if you have like a couple headaches a month. But, you know, I'm a neurologist. Those aren't the people I see. So the people I see are having more like a couple of headaches a week. And the problem that we get into is that when the headaches are that frequent, the brain itself starts to change. So that even when you're not having a headache, your brain is firing differently than the brain of someone who's only having one or two headaches a month or who doesn't get any. So that is really the problem right there. And so what we see happen is that people are getting a couple headaches a week, they're taking medication to make it go away, but their brain is still changing. It's honestly a little bit like when you learn to play the piano or something like that. You know, you keep practicing over and then you get really good at it. It's the same. If your brain keeps practicing having headaches over and over, it gets really good at it. It starts to wire, the genetics start to make all those proteins and enzymes, and that turns into its own problem. So this all sort of comes up for me because I'm seeing people where the medications just aren't working anymore. So yeah, that's a big factor. Or they take medications, but they get side effects. So that's a factor too. And the reason usually that the medications stop working for them is because their brain is actually starting to change.
Right. And one of the most interesting things in my practice, and I look at EEGs and quantitative EEGs all day long. Mm-hmm. So most of the patients that I see, I have their QEG before me, before I even step into the room and meet them for the first time. So,
wow.
And then one of the first things that I come up that I look at with these patients after I look at their brain mapping is the way, usually when I walk into the room, they have to turn around to look at me. So a lot of people are like doing this. And so that's one of the things I observe, because whenever I see someone like that, their brain fires on beta region, super high firing frequencies. So I'm like, I bet you this person has headaches, or I bet you this person has chronic pain. And I bet you it's been going on for years, because it's just stuck. You can see that on the EEG. So what you just said really resonated with me is the fact that the brain's physiology is so different. And it's not like headaches and brain are two separate things. We're all connected together. So that's amazing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, even with functional MRI, so many other tools we have these days have really, it's a bunch of convergent data all pointing in the same direction. Yeah.
Absolutely. So on one of the other talks in the summit, we actually discuss how chronic pain, especially headaches, affects relationships. And what I often find, and maybe you as well with your patients, is that relationships really start to suffer and people feel really isolated because the pain and headaches. Do you find that to be true for a lot of patients?
Absolutely. And you know, part of what's going on with that is that the underlying structure of the brain is changing. It makes people have more brain fog. It makes people have more anxiety, more depression, poor quality sleep. You know, these are all of the other symptoms that start to go along with the headaches when those pain pathways start to become damaged almost, you know, it's reversible, but like damaged in air quotes as a result of living with that chronic pain. And yeah, we see that in relationships for sure.
Yeah. So we shouldn't be relying on pills all the time. Like what do we do? How do we figure this out?
So I think that this is actually a massively under-recognized area in conventional medicine. And part of my mission is to definitely raise awareness so that people understand that taking pills a couple of days a week is not no big deal. I have people come into my office all the time who are like, yeah, I have headaches 10, 15 days a month, but it's fine. I take my medicine. I power through. I still take my kids to soccer. I still go to work. I have to do things 5 times, but I still get my stuff done, you know, and there, it's almost like there's not a validation that's not okay. That's not optimal. That's not where we want to be. And so I think it starts with letting people know, you know, through venues like what you're doing, that's not what we're shooting for. There's stuff going on under the surface when we, you know, lift the hood and take a peek that really needs to be fixed. So I think awareness is absolutely the first step, that if you're living in that state, things could be so much better for you.
So what are like the most common causes you see for these like unrelenting headaches?
You know, there are so many. I think that there are a lot of nutrient deficiencies out there that are contributing to headaches. So I think it's important to figure those out. And for many people, there can be toxins accumulating in the body. Many people with migraines have mutations in their detox pathways. And so they're just more susceptible to all of the toxins in our world. Some of them are things we've heard of, like mercury or things like that. Some of it, I think, honestly, hasn't been figured out yet. But when we detox people, they start feeling amazing. And then I think that, you know, a lot of times it is this problem that the brain has become rewired because of the chronic pain. And so just to like an analogy about how this works that we've learned from functional MRI, I like to think of the brain as a symphony. Okay. And so you've got the conductor, and then you've got all the other different areas of the brain, you know, the percussion, the strings, et cetera. And what we see on functional MRI is that the conductor parts of the brain are gone. The conductor's out to lunch. Those parts of the brain are under firing. They eventually become smaller. And our job is to help people fire those circuits, start refiring those circuits. So neurons that fire together, wire together, and eventually those parts of the brain start to come back online, and then they start to grow in size, and then we can help normalize the pain pathways. And oftentimes that's part of the issue.
Grow in size. You're saying like parts of the brain can actually grow, or the function can actually grow?
Yep, absolutely. So, wow. And this is something, you know, that's newer in terms of our understanding of how the brain works. It's part of the neuroscience that has come about in the last couple of decades that really helps us understand what it is that's going wrong in the brain and how we heal it. I think that, you know, when we fall down and skin our knee, it's super obvious that the knee heals. The brain is just a little more hidden in here, right? We needed more tools to figure out how the brain really heals. But yes, absolutely. When neurons fire together, they wire together, the connections become more dense between the neurons. You know, if you can imagine maybe two neurons connected like this, they'll become connected like this as you continually fire. Yeah, they fire those circuits. And then when you bring the conductor back online, then the conductor can like organize, okay, percussion, you do this, strings, you do this. You know, and then the whole brain is operating the way it was intended to. So you really can bring those parts of the brain back online through conscious intention, very targeted types of things. But it is possible to do that and rewire back to a healthier place.
That's amazing. You know, another part of the summit, I interviewed Dr. Bruce Wexler, who coined this term brain systems in a publication in 1986 when he was at think Yale or Harvard, I can't remember. And so he talked about these sort of brain systems and working together. It sounds like the symphony that you're talking about. You know, it's not like one or two neurons, you know, it's really an entire system. And we have to really address the entire system, like from a holistic process, for that to really heal. So that's beautiful, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
How important, here's my thing, you know, I see a lot of people, and not just patients, but my family, especially my family, actually, who kind of have this understanding their headaches are just headaches. They're going to put up with it, but they kind of power through the day. And that if someone has a headache, you know, a lot of people that are in my family just kind of hide it. Hey, I'm just going to go to a dark room for a little bit and I'll power through. And I don't feel like that's really spoken out loud, even within family systems. And I'm sure it's not even spoken out loud within their friends. People don't like to talk about headaches. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think that is complicated. I think that on the one hand, there is sort of a dismissive attitude about headaches in our society. And absolutely that idea, you know, just put up with it, power through it, take a pill and go do what you need to do. And you know, the vast majority of headache sufferers are women. And so a lot of times that's, you know, I still need you to get dinner on the table. I still need you to get to the grocery store. I still need you to, you know, keep up with the social plans, you know, these, and I'm saying it as if somebody else is speaking to them, but I think women do this to themselves. Also, we are expected to be caretakers. It is, part of what we do and love to do, but also there's, so I think that there, you know, a couple of different things happen. Number one, everybody thinks it's no big deal. Number two, we push ourselves really hard to continue giving to our children, our jobs, our husbands, our families, our partners, you know, whatever it is. And so those two are pretty strong factors that result in people downplaying the impact of the headaches on their lives.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the different types of headaches, because I think headaches is one giant category. Let's start with migraines. How are migraines different from other type of headaches? And what are the classifications, you think?
Yeah. So migraines, you know, are defined as generally one-sided headaches associated with nausea or vomiting, light sensitivity, sound sensitivity. They tend to last between 4 and 72 hours. You know, those are sort of our diagnostic criteria. And, you know, I think really there are lumpers and splitters in medicine, you know, people who kind of try to put everything into one category and then people who try to split it out into a bunch of different definitions. I'm definitely a lumper. Yeah, I see chronic headaches as being a lot of the same circuits and problems going on in the brain, regardless of whether it started off as migraine or tension headache. And just, you know, for the purposes of clarifying the definition, a tension headache is typically both sides, often a band around the head. You don't tend to get that nausea or vomiting, light sensitivity or sound sensitivity, you know, tends to come on at the end of the day. They're typically shorter, less severe than migraines are. But I think regardless of what the headache type is, what matters really is the frequency and the impact on your life. And if they're getting more frequent and they're starting to make it so you can't do the things you want to do, that's when bells need to go off in your head and say, whoa, whoa, I need to go do something about this. So for me, frequency and severity matters almost just as much as, you know, what is it that's causing it? I mean, excluding things like brain tumors, of course, you know, you need to go to your doctor and figure that out. But, you know, once the biggies have been excluded, I think the big drivers of the changes in the brain are really the frequency and severity.
Right. Absolutely. And a lot of people listening to this have been to doctors. They probably even had MRIs and it was negative and they've had CT scans, right? And so because of that, hey, we know it's not a tumor, but we don't know exactly what it is. So they kind of end up, you know, watching our show here.
Yeah. Yay, glad to have you here.
Yeah, same. So here's the thing, you know, I think that you're right about, you know, the lumpers and splitters. So I'm also a guy kind of lump things in. And I think part of the reason is because you and I both believe in what you call the symphony analogy, right? Hey, the strings are out of tune. It's not like there's a violin that's missing. The strings are out of tune, this whole section, right? So the entire section's out of tune. And so as we look at headaches. And one of the reason, you know, in medicine that we split things into different categories, one is data collection, and two is targeted pharmaceuticals for FDA approval, right? And so a lot of the splitting into different sections is designated for a specific diagnosis for a specific drug that can go under development in the clinical trials, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then develop a drug. So my dad's a dean of pharmacology, University of Houston. So that's sort of the discussion behind that, right? Mm-hmm. And then, but from a holistic standpoint, if the brain is wiring in a particular way, it can precipitate migraines, it can precipitate tension headaches, it can precipitate cluster headaches, and whatever things that we want to split into, right? And so let's talk about the similarities between them. And one of the things that we mentioned in the previous talk is something called the glymphatics, that we kind of introduced this concept. Can you talk about how the glymphatics really relate to headaches?
Oh, I would love to. All right. So the glymphatic system was discovered in the space of my career. So this is a brand new concept in neuroscience that is incredibly important for those of us with chronic headaches to understand. I think that everybody who has migraines or frequent headaches understands intuitively the link between sleep and headache. If we don't sleep well, we are much more likely to get a headache the following day. If we have a headache, sleep will often take it away. And here's why. So any kind of headache, migraine in particular, shuts down the glymphatics. This is incredibly important for people to know. It shuts down the glymphatics. Now, the glymphatics are like the trash truck of your brain. It is clearing out all the inflammation, all the beta amyloid, all the other byproducts of metabolism in your brain. Your brain takes up 20% of your energy. There's a lot going on up here. It needs a really good trash truck. And if you're having headaches, it shuts down your glymphatics. The glymphatics kick in and kind of go into high gear at night to help clear out your brain. So that's why, number one, if you're noticing a link with sleep and headaches, it could be because you need that glymphatic clearance to get rid of all the trash in your brain. And number two, it's more pronounced for people who are having headaches because they're shut down part of the time. So that stuff builds up more. You need that sleep even more to be able to clear everything out. So that I think is really, really important for people to understand. You know, we live in a culture where people brag about, oh, I only need 5 hours of sleep or whatever, but you know, we've done very detailed studies and those people are just fooling themselves, you know? When you do sophisticated testing on them, they're basically performing like drunk drivers. You know, it's not a good thing to miss out on your sleep.
Right. Are the glymphatics only surrounding the brain?
Well, as we conceive of them with regards to clearing the trash trucks out of the brain, yeah. So they come in, fluid comes in along the outside of the arteries. Arteries bring blood in, it washes across the brain tissue and sweeps away all the toxins and then drains out along the outside of the veins, which is why it was so tricky to find them, because it's not a whole separate structure like the lymphatics in the rest of the body, which clears stuff out of it. Like it's its own separate structure. You can see it. The glymphatics aren't, it's not that way. We now have sophisticated tools and we're able to see it. And now we're just starting to understand it. So it's related to, but different from, and it was harder to find.
Yeah. And I guess there's no medicines that can clear the glymphatics or anything, right?
Nope. Absolutely not. Yeah. So
theoretically, what could be happening on is people kind of cover up these symptoms with medicines over a long period of time. Their glymphatics can get really backed up. Now there's a whole lot of trash going on in the brain, right? And those toxins build up and eventually they turn into neurodegenerative diseases, you know, Alzheimer's and et cetera, right?
Yes. And you raise a really important point. Like headaches aren't the only outcome of all the trash building up in your brain. There is a clear link with Alzheimer's and the accumulation of beta amyloid and disruption of glymphatic function. So, you know, it's a bigger deal than I think people often realize when those headaches start to get more frequent.
Yeah, absolutely. And this discussion of amyloid, which we've had in multiple discussions already, is a big deal because, you know, amyloid is like the police of the central nervous system in the brain, and they bind and sequester to a lot of toxins that are in there. And it's supposed to fold in a way where it's supposed to be dumped into the lymphatics, but it doesn't. And a lot of times, one specific company recently came out with a pharmaceutical drug to try to unfold that system in the way where it can dump its lymphatics, but the outcomes weren't that great. And part of the reason is because there's not really a holistic view at it rather than just looking at the amyloid dumping. And so I think that for most people, you know, headaches are actually should be seen as a huge deal. People should not play it down. And I know there's a stigma out there saying that, oh, you have chronic headaches, that equals weakness. That's a very like westernized stigma. But we really have to think about headaches in a very different way. And I'm glad you're bringing, you know, so many things up. So earlier you talked about the actual function of the brain, looking at fMRI, which is functional MRI, right? So are there studies looking at specifically brain function specifically in relation to the number of headaches per day or per week or per month per patient?
So most of the work revolves around, it's not so much what they do is they look at people who are chronic versus people who are not. So, and our definition of chronic for most headache specialists is now down to about 8 to 10 headache days a month. It used to be 15, but people are understanding that this chronification process is happening sooner than we realize now that we have these sophisticated tools. And, you know, what we see is that under firing of those conductor circuits of the brain. And for you neuroscience geeks out there, I'm talking about the anterior cingulate, the prefrontal cortex, the insula. Those are the areas of the brain that under fire and eventually atrophy in people who are having chronic headaches. So yeah, we can definitely see now what the structural changes that happen in the brain as a result of the changes in function.
This is scary. I mean, you literally have brain shrinkage from headaches, you know?
I know. I know.
I wish everyone knew that, you know?
I'm doing my best. You and I both, we're getting the message out.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, in the primary care setting, headaches are actually really common in the primary care setting, but headaches are the number one symptom not told to the doctor because most people kind of brush it off anyways. But we really have to get rid of that stigma. But let's talk about some success stories. What are kind of your greatest success stories that you've seen of people combating debilitating headaches?
Oh my gosh. So my favorite way to do this is to combine some medications with the science of brain healing, which I translate into actionable steps for people. I think when we have a fusion of everything that modern science has given us, that's when people get the best results. So for example, I was working with someone recently who told me that after 3 months of using this approach, her headaches were the best they had been in 50 years.
Wow, big deal.
That's a lifetime. A lifetime. I mean, and honestly, that's why I do what I do. Some of these stories are so powerful. It makes me cry. I'm such a wimp, but I mean, it's really incredibly powerful because that, you know, that like, what if that had happened for her 40 years ago? How much more life would that have given her? And I, you know, another story that comes to mind, I was working with a gal recently who really wanted to have a child and had a great partner and her life was all set for this, but she was having headaches 3-4 days a week that would put her to bed. And she very wisely realized, you know, I'm not sure I can take care of a kid with these headaches this bad. She went through the whole process. And I remember one of the last Zoom calls we had with her, you know, there's 10 of us on the Zoom call or whatever. And she shows up and says, you guys, I have done so well for the past month, my husband and I have decided to go ahead and have a child. And we all just clapped. I mean, it was just like such a wonderful moment, you know, and think of what, you know, how much life has that opened up for her to be able to have that impact and to bring these tools to her and give her something that's going to give her life a lot of meaning. So I, you know, and those are just some of the highlights, but I think when we use all of the tools of neuroscience and modern medicine together, we can make a dramatic impact in somebody's life in a short period of time.
That's fantastic. And do you think that, what do you think are the biggest levers to pull, if you will, when it comes to improving headache? Is it diet? Is it sleep? Like what is it?
I think that the three most important areas are brain healthy, nutrition, and supplements. So let me take a step back. I divide this process into four steps. So the first step is reveal with labs to look at how the brain and the body are doing, to see what clues that gives you about what's actually what's the root cause of these headaches. So you need that piece. Second step is revitalize, which we do with food and supplements that are targeted towards the needs of the brain, which are different than the needs of the rest of the body. This revitalized process is somewhat the same for everybody, but individualized based on the results of the labs. And then once we have that going and the brain has the raw materials to start the healing process, then we start clearing out some toxins. As we talked about a little bit, the glymphatics is part of that, but there are several different detox systems in the body. Our body is programmed to get rid of toxins. We're just so overloaded with them in our modern world. We have to work extra hard to get rid of them, and extra hard if we have the, you know, problems with detox genes that so many people with migraines have. And then once we've got that going on and things are healthier, then we start rewiring the brain. Headaches are already substantially better by this point, and then we need to start rewiring. It's as if the brain has learned to be good at headaches. We have to make it unlearn. We make it learn a new normal. And the principles of neuroplasticity help us figure out how to do that. So I think those are the biggies. And honestly, I do not see this as a process where one thing works for everybody. It's got to be individualized. And I also feel like there are problems in all three of these realms going on when we work with people. And so many people feel like they've tried nutrition, they've tried supplements, and it didn't work. So none of this stuff is going to work. But what I tell them is, okay, so you fixed one thing. You put Michael Jordan on the court, okay? He's still not going to win against the other team that has 12 players. Like, you need all right. the players on the team. It's not 12. I'm not good at basketball. But you see what I'm saying? Like, you need the whole team. You need everything to be working. You know, if you fix one biochemical pathway with one supplement, that's an awesome start, but that is not going to give you a winning team. Do you know what I mean? So that's why I really think it's got to involve all these different areas about how the brain heals itself. And we have to amplify what the brain is naturally trying to do and help it heal better.
Orchestrating the symphony, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, there are a few things in my experience that has been pretty crucial as well. And there's some people who have issues that are outside the head that can create headaches. So spinal alignment, you know, issues that are huge. A lot of cervical spine and neck issues, especially people, you know, on texting all the time and stuff like that. Sleep apnea is massively huge in this arena. And in a lot of women, undertreated iron deficiency is such a huge deal as well. And just like you said, there's so many different things. We have to have an individualized approach to it. And yes, just because, you know, you did a diet for a few months and it didn't really work out doesn't necessarily mean that's not the right step. It just means that you have to have some expectations in looking at these systems that are there. But one thing that you said was interesting to me is that the brain can get like primed and triggered to have these sort of reactions. So even a small trigger can trigger a bigger headache. And you said that can be untriggered. Are there specific steps? Or are we still talking about, you know, orchestrating the symphony of improvements for nutritionals and stuff like that? Or is it just one thing that can untrigger the brain?
I don't think it is one thing. I really don't. But you really need that full team on the court. But I'm glad you brought up this issue of neck pain and, you know, posture, how we can exacerbate a lot of that, because what we know is that headaches cause neck pain and neck pain causes headaches.
So
I'm so glad you brought that up. I started doing yoga after I had my first kid many years ago, and I eventually realized that my headaches were getting better too. So I was very curious about that because that was definitely not part of the curriculum in my Stanford residency. Nobody was saying do yoga, right? But that was one of the first tip-offs to me that like, oh yeah, the body has its own natural healing pathways and there are things we can do to tap into that. And of course, now we know that there are thousands of studies demonstrating the benefit of yoga and meditation for people with chronic headaches. And that is one of the tools that I teach people. I'm a certified yoga and meditation teacher. And those are very powerful learned skills that can really move the needle for people.
And what about breathing? How important is the actual breathing process? I know you teach yoga and meditation. Breathing is a huge part of yoga and meditation, right?
Yeah.
How does that contribute to everything?
So certain types of breathing have been scientifically shown to help shift the body from this chronic fight or flight state that people with chronic headaches are in. The breathing techniques will shift them over to parasympathetic. And there are actually wearables that you can use to watch your body do this as you are learning the techniques so that you can make sure you're doing it right and you're getting the intended physical result in your body. But a lot of those breathing techniques revolve around slowing down the exhale. And so that is the most powerful way to help your body shift. Now, you can't necessarily live in that state, but if you're doing something every day, your body will start to shift. In the same way that, you know, if you lift weights every day, your muscles will get bigger. If you do the breathing exercises every day, your body will start to shift and you'll see it on devices to track your body, which is super cool. People love that.
Yeah, amazing. One of the things that we do here at Texas Center for Lifestyle Medicine is we actually monitor, we have EEGs on people's brains as they do breathing exercises. And so we do remote neurofeedback or home neurofeedback. So one of the coolest things that we just started doing is that when we see that people's brain are so wired in that beta frequency, they're like all the time, even when they have the device on, we're like, okay, let's do literally a 60-second meditation. The minute you do that, all the fire just slows into the nice alpha frequencies. And then whenever they start breathing fast again or lose the breath, and you can see the brain going directly back into the beta system. We're like, what happened? You know?
I love it. That's fantastic. Yeah. What a powerful form of feedback, you know, as they're learning the tools. Yeah. That's
so
great.
Cool to see how fast it is. Like it's like instantaneous, you know?
Yeah.
But the fact that people are able to connect that in the brain frequency and the headaches and the breathing is just a beautiful symphony, as you said.
Yeah.
And so the one last thing, and then we'll close it off. The last thing that I want to ask you, and it's something that I ask really commonly to a lot of doctors, is what is one thing that you now know as a practicing physician that you wish you knew back in residency?
Ooh, that is a good question. One thing that I know now, I would say, I wish that I had embraced things outside of conventional medicine earlier because those tools are so powerful. So my experience was very much that, you know, medications and surgery were 95% of what I was taught. And my worldview for so long was, okay, these are the tools that work. Other tools don't work. And so I wish that I had been exposed to or seen the science earlier to help understand how the body heals itself, because I think I could have helped a lot more people along the way had I come to that earlier in my career as opposed to later. And, you know, in retrospect, you know, the influence of those factors in medicine is incredibly powerful. You know, that's what people see on TV when they're watching their favorite show. You know, they don't see anybody saying, oh my gosh, you can grow new neurons. You can grow new pathways in your head. Yeah. You know, it's not on commercials. And so then I think sometimes people assume that that's not as good or not as legit, but you know, if there was a drug that did what, you know, for example, what magnesium can do for people with chronic headaches, you know, it would be plastered everywhere.
Right. So the last thing I'm going to tell people to do is go to this website, theheadachequiz.com. So spelled out, theheadachequiz.com, and check out what kind of headaches you got going on and how it's really affecting your life. And then take some next steps with that page. And my biggest takeaway from our discussion today is that there's so many congruencies with what you're saying with a dentist, with two really famous psychiatrists, and another neurologist. So everyone's saying really similar things, but in a very special way. So what we're really realizing, you know, right now it's 2022 going into 2023, what we're really realizing is that the more outside the box that we come, that we look at, the more congruencies there are. And these patterns are no accidents, because all these professionals, including myself and you, we all arrived at very similar conclusions, very independently and very separately. You know, I went through the residency and the training and stuff like that, and so did everyone else. And it's just fascinating that we're really discussing the same principles of health that's really required, especially surrounding, you know, brain health and headaches and psychiatry as well. So I really want to thank you for coming on and taking the time out of your busy day. And
thank you.
Once again, go to theheadachequiz.com. It's all spelled out for your headache survey. Thank you very much.
Thank you.